Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm. March Madness is here. The Vols are balling. Shots are falling. Shots probably being taken out at the bar as well. If you are out celebrating, if you are out enjoying the weather, be responsible. Don't drink and drive. But if you find yourself needing legal representation, or one of your loved ones or someone you know needs legal representation, Marcos Garza and his law firm are the best when it comes to beating DUIs, to getting the best result possible in your case. Before you say guilty, say Garza. GarzaLaw.com, 865-540-8300. You can get in touch with someone 24/7, 366. Before you say guilty, say Garza. Let's go.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch. It is Wednesday, March 13th. On one hand, we are SEC champions. On the other hand, we are coming off of a loss to Kentucky, which I got to say, Seth kind of called. He said he thought we were going to go 3-1 and lose to Kentucky, and turns out he was right. Seth, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, John? It's good to hear your voice as usual.
Good to hear your voice. I'm doing good. I am ready to lock in. I am ready for tournament basketball. The sun is shining here in Knoxville. We're about to hit conference play in baseball. Spring practice a week away in football. The Tennessee Equinox is coming up.
Calvin Ridley?
Yeah.
Oh, we're not excited about that?
I don't know how to feel about Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley to the Titans. News broke, you know, just moments ago before we start recording. I don't know. He's 29. It's kind of old for wide receivers.
Okay.
To pair with another old wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
The price tag looks big. 4 years, $92 million. Only $50 million guaranteed. I'm imagining it's kind of really only a three-year deal, maybe a two-and-a-half-year deal if they want to get out of it after 2 years. The cap went up so much in the NFL this year, like an extra like $40 million basically in cap space, that, you know, there's stupid money getting thrown around. So I don't really know how to like compute value anyways. I would rather have probably tried to find a wide receiver in the draft. This doesn't mean that they won't. But, like, I feel like you're going to be able to get a really good receiver in the second round that's probably going to be just as good as Calvin Ridley, or at least as 70% of a 50% chance of being just as good as Calvin Ridley. I don't know. I'm not mad about it. I'm glad that you stole him from Jacksonville. That's an added bonus.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I thought he was better than he was then.
I mean, yeah, he had 1,000 yards last year in 17 games. He had 200 yards against the Titans in two games. I mean, he went over 100 yards both games there, but like the other 15 games had basically 800 yards. He's fine. If it gets the boys excited, it makes me happy. I'm glad to spend some money. I would rather, like I said, draft a wide receiver and spend money on defense, but whatever. It looks like we're trying.
Yes, it does.
It does. And that's good enough for me, is looking like you're trying. I don't think you go out and give Calvin Ridley this money. if you plan on like completely tanking this upcoming year. So I guess they're going to go for it.
Sometimes that's all you can do is go for it.
I'm trying to be better about not having an opinion on everything, especially sports related. There's plenty of stuff in life that I don't have an opinion on, but like in sports, I don't really have an opinion here. It could be good. It could be bad. Ultimately, I'm happy we're trying, though.
I like that. I like that.
Thoughts on Tennessee, where the Vols are right now after losing to Kentucky, which, again, you predicted and was kind of rooting for.
I feel very good about Tennessee. I mean, the Kentucky thing was just kind of – well, first of all, I just want to say this. If they're going to shoot like that, Connecticut can beat them. I mean, the thing to me is that Tennessee still almost won. Tennessee had a chance to tie at the end of the game with a good look. It's all about Justin Edwards not being able to miss. I believe he had 0 points in the first matchup. When he is lights out from three like that, I mean, it felt like every bounce was going their way. Exemplified by Reed Sheppard losing the ball, going off the backboard and going right to him, right back to him. We had played three, you know, really hard games in a row. I think
also had wrapped up the conference championship
and had wrapped up a conference title. I think what annoyed me the most is Josiah talking about how emotional he was. You've already been through senior day once, bro.
Yeah, but the door was open to come back. It's over now. I know what you mean. I had talked on the radio, the morning show, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Fox Sports Knoxville. I had talked about how I hate senior days and how I hate the pregame celebration and how I think the team usually just comes out flat afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
The example I used was like watching my stepsister who played college basketball on some pretty good teams at that level. They went to the national tournament a couple times. But like watching them do senior day and how all the girls came out there and cried and then they immediately got beat by 20 points. Just yeah. How flat they came out. And I understand it's women. I understand it's NAIA basketball and not NCAA basketball. I get all that. But ever since that game, I've just thought about how much I hate senior day. And I do feel like the team at least talked about, Rick Barnes talked about it, Josiah talked about it, you know, how emotional it was coming out there and how they came out in a weird funk and got off to a bad start and kind of set the tone for the entire game.
Yeah. My overarching thought of Tennessee-Kentucky is basically like some games it is what it is. I thought Saturday you tip your hat to Kentucky and you move on. Like, sometimes you just don't have it. I told my dad at one point when we were down big in the second half, I just wanted them to come back and I just wanted them to show the fight necessary to come back that they'll have to do at some point in the NCAA tournament if they want to get the Final Four. Like, just show some fight to come back. Just keep pushing, even when things are going just against you nonstop. You know, kind of like when we lost to Loyola. Like, I felt like everything went against us that entire game, but we just kept coming. We kept coming. And finally, we caught up, and we still lost, but we kept coming. You know, Tennessee kept coming Saturday. Kentucky has, you know, a couple of top five picks. I mean, Reed Sheppard was – what can you even say about Reed Sheppard? I mean, what is there possibly to say about him?
I had confidence that Tennessee was going to come back pretty much the entire first half, you know, wasn't worried about it. Halftime, wasn't worried about it. The first time I thought, ah, fuck, maybe just not our day, was when Reed Sheppard stole the ball from,
yeah,
I don't remember if it was Connect or Vescovy, one of the white boys, and just immediately dribbled down and hit a transition three by himself.
Yeah.
And took the game from 3-6. And yeah, that was the first time I remember thinking like, ah, huh, yeah, this might not be our day.
Yeah, and it wasn't, and that's fine. Credit to Kentucky. I mean,
Justin Edwards scoring is such a kick in the dick, like you said. I mean, I guess on one hand, you have to live with it because he did help beat Alabama, which, you know, ultimately won you the SEC championship.
Yeah.
He went 10 for 10 in that game. It's such a backbreaker, though, when he's hitting jumpers. The first game, I think you're wrong. You said he went scoreless. I think he scored in the first half. I remember him hitting a couple jumpers in the first half to kind of like keep them in the game, and then it didn't do anything at all in the second half.
I want to say his first jumper of the game Saturday was like a really long two, I thought.
I believe you're right.
And I just remember him making it, and I just remember being like, okay, man, whatever, you know.
They shot 60% from three in the second half.
He does this thing, Cal does this thing that he's done for several years now to where his teams show up on the road and just win these games. Like, you can get them at home. You can get them at their home. But, like, he just kind of like he did with Auburn this year. He's done it several times in Tennessee. He just...
I got to give him credit. And, you know, we've talked about it. I don't really hate Coach Cal the same way a lot of Tennessee fans do. Public enemy number one for me is Nate Oates. Sometimes it's easy to hate Cal. Sometimes I'm like, ah, he's not that bad. But, yeah, this year especially.
They look dead.
It seems like they thrive, though, in the underdog role.
Yeah.
And that's partly going on the road, right? Like, they're eight-point dogs against Auburn. They come in and play their best game. They're eight, nine-point dogs against us. They play a great game. It's like they can't handle being front runners, though. They can't handle the home games they're supposed to win.
Yeah.
And now they have that aura about them that they're back to being supposed to win. And I imagine they're going to crash and burn like they have in the tournament the last couple years.
Yeah.
They can't be underdogs anymore. Unless they play us. But even then, in the SEC championship, if they play us, they'll be a popular pick and the pressure will kind of be on them since they beat us the last time we played.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, it ended up like it was an atrocious day overall because Florida inexplicably loses to Vanderbilt. But it's saved at the end of the day by USC dog-walking Arizona. So that saved it. That saved the day as a whole.
It saved it. It was still a net loss.
Yes.
You know, like losing to Kentucky. And even having Arizona lose, it was still a net loss because you had North Carolina win at Duke.
Yeah. Yep.
I think North Carolina has a better case against Tennessee.
For sure.
I didn't see any path where Arizona, unless they had like two fewer losses, had a better case than Tennessee. North Carolina, like, I think even if both teams win their conference championship, if Tennessee wins the SEC championship and North Carolina wins the ACC championship, especially by beating Duke, I give the edge to Tennessee.
But, yeah, it's going to be close.
But it's, like, something you're going to sweat out.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, 60, 65, 35, maybe. But still, it's not like a slam dunk, especially because we know that they have the advantage of wrapping up on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we'll be playing, you know, on Sunday whenever – the committee's probably going to want to have all of their work done. I said it today. I'll say it here again. I do think this is different than 2022 when we got fucked after the SEC tournament, just because that was going from a 3 seed to a 2 seed, and there's more moving stuff around, more dominoes to fall when you start moving 3 seeds up. Because, like, the regions get different and the locations get different. Like, I do think Tennessee and North Carolina are going to be pretty interchangeable. Like, the 1 seed goes out west. The 2 seed either goes to the east or south. And then Arizona goes wherever the other 2 seed doesn't go. I think that's very possible. Or maybe Arizona's not even affected. Maybe Arizona's a 2 seed in the west regardless. But whatever. Like, I think it's easier to move Tennessee and North Carolina around depending on the conference tournament this weekend. Which for Tennessee is probably a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Agree with all that. I think, obviously we need Mississippi State to win. I mean, that's the first big domino, right?
It's just little domino today was having Florida State beat Virginia Tech.
Okay.
Virginia Tech was hovering around like 55. So if you're counting quad one opportunities, if Virginia Tech had beaten Florida State, maybe they move up a spot. But then playing North Carolina again makes their schedule so much tougher that maybe they become a top 50 game. Florida State's down in like the 90s, so that's that guarantees one fewer quad one opportunity for North Carolina.
Okay.
So that was the first little domino. I don't know how much that actually matters, but there was a scenario where North Carolina played three quad one opponents with Virginia Tech barely sneaking in that top 50. Now that's dead. Now the most they can play is two, whereas Tennessee still has a chance to play three. And two of those would be like massive. Tier A or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Tier 1A.
Auburn has the second best odds to win the...
Yeah, and I imagine that's because of the way they view South Carolina versus Florida, if I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Like Tennessee and Auburn, having South Carolina there is easier than having Florida waiting in the wings, I guess is the rationale there. Because, I mean, Tennessee's obviously the favorite. They won the SEC. That makes sense. But, like, as far as Auburn goes, it was a little head-scratching that they would have the next best odds. But I that's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I was surprised by it.
Because Carolina opened up as, like, 50-1, whereas Florida opened up at, like, 16-1. So they think quite a bit more highly of Florida than South Carolina.
Which is funny because, like, obviously I do too. But, like, South Carolina just keeps on winning.
They beat Florida. You know, it was at South Carolina and it was a close game, but they did just beat Florida. They've beaten three of the five teams that finished ahead of them.
You know, they just, I thought for sure they would lose on Saturday to Mississippi State. Nope. They just go to Starkville. They take care of business. I mean, they just keep winning.
Yeah, it was really good that Tennessee was able to beat them, because that would have been very frustrating, them just grabbing victory out of the jaws of defeat in every 50-50 game. It would have been just like the 2019 LSU season. And I know South Carolina finished fifth, but when I say the three of the five teams ahead of them, I mean in the gambling odds in terms of favorites in the SEC tournament, because Florida's ahead of them there.
Yeah. But I feel good overall. I mean, I just thought Saturday can be chalked up to it's just not your day. And it is what it is, but it's just not your day. You just snap and clear. You move on. I mean, the thing that, like, I don't know. I see. How many points does Zaya have Saturday?
I want to say seven.
Okay.
I want to say he hit two, three, or maybe nine. He hit two threes and a – was that it? I think he just hit two threes.
He hit two threes in the second half.
And maybe a free throw. Two free throws. Two threes and two free throws at the end. I'm pretty sure he had eight.
Man, I don't know.
Which, I mean, is hell of a lot more. It's infinity more than Santiago.
Yeah. I mean –
who had zero and threw up an 0 for 5.
Yeah.
Josiah at least came out in the second half and was aggressive. I mean, like, he was pretty good in the second half, I thought.
How did you feel about Jonas Adu Saturday?
I don't know. I thought I was frustrated inside the arena watching him just around the rim struggle again. When I look at his stat line, though, if you told me he had 11 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 blocks, I'm probably taking that. You know what I mean?
So I was not there, but watching it, I was the same exact way, and I think that the stat line belies his performance. I mean, I thought he got bullied.
Yeah.
I thought he struggled immensely.
Kentucky's got, you know, an NBA team out there in terms of athleticism and length. So, like, it's kind of a typical game that he struggled in against size. You know, I know there's no little Hunter Dickinson, no Zach Edey out there, but, like, they have cumulative size and athleticism.
Yeah. Okay. The stat line blew my mind.
4 for 11 feels right. I mean, in terms of him struggling around the rim, especially when you consider that a lot of his looks are wide open.
Yeah.
Or should be. I shouldn't say wide open. Either wide open jumpers or right under the rim. Now, I know some of those are contested, but 4 of 11 from what you consider good looks, that's troubling.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad we're one there. I thought he was very disappointing.
It was disappointing for everybody except Connect, I feel like.
Yeah, that's fair.
I know Zakai, it's kind of like Adu. Zakai ends up with 17 and 9, but I feel like he was outmatched for most of the game.
Well, I mean, he didn't play in the first half, so, you know, he got the two fouls. I mean, he turned it on in the second half, I felt like. I mean, he was, to me, is the second best performance of the day.
Sure.
And there's a huge gap between one and two.
I don't think it's that valuable to look behind at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I think the last thing I'll say about the Kentucky game, and you can either agree or disagree, but I think losing to them shocked us to the point, or shocked us back to where we have to care about the SEC tournament.
Okay.
I think if you win against Kentucky, I don't know about you, I would have came into this SEC tournament not really worried. Not really caring if you lost on Saturday. Not really caring if you lost the championship. I mean, yeah, I want to win one. And yeah, every time Tennessee plays, I'm going to get wrapped up in it. But like, now I come into this tournament, Seth, feeling like Tennessee kind of has to win it to make me feel good.
Yeah, well, you definitely don't want to lose to Kentucky again.
I don't want to lose to Auburn either. Like, yeah. Like now that like every team is basically going to be, the way I've been saying it is that like any team you play from here on out outside of, you know, Mississippi State is going to feel like a Sweet 16 game.
Yeah, that's fair.
They're basically projected to be four seeds. You're projected to be a one seed. You would match up in the Sweet 16. It's going to be a neutral site. Can you go out and win?
Even though we know that there's no correlation, and it's unfair to ask this after the run that they just went on, I agree. If they had beaten Kentucky Saturday, the SEC tournament would be just like you would want to win because it's Tennessee playing somebody, but you wouldn't really care.
You'd be like, all right, we get an extra day of rest. That's fine. Yep. Oh, you know what? We lost our win streak. That's better. We can reset. No big deal. But yeah, now to me, like if you lose on Friday, obviously that's two losses in a row. If you lose on Saturday, that's two of your last three. If you lose on Sunday, that's a big game that you couldn't get it done against a team that you're better than. Tennessee's going to be favored. Like I said, it's going to have a Sweet 16 feel to it. And you couldn't get it done. And I'm going to go into the tournament with a lot less confidence about the boys than I would have had you just beaten Kentucky at home.
Yeah.
Or if you win the SEC championship, obviously.
I get it. I think that's fair. I think that's a fair take. I found myself wanting the clean sweep of the SEC championships more than I did going into the Kentucky game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I think if you had finished that gauntlet of the season 4-0, that's just as emphatic as winning the tournament and the regular season, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah.
It was comparable, but you lost that. So yeah, now you need to get it done in Nashville.
Yeah.
Are you planning on going?
Might go Sunday.
Okay. If we're playing anybody, yeah. You might go if your dad wants to go, I assume.
Yeah. What about you?
I was talking to my boy T-Bone. And like earlier in the week or last week, I was asking him because A, he lives in Nashville. B, like he usually has a pretty good hookup on tickets if he wants to go. And at first, he was like, no, I can't. I'm out of town. And then today, he was texting me saying he might move some stuff around to go Saturday.
Okay.
He couldn't go Sunday, but if I win, I'd, you know, be there for Sunday. I'd go Sunday, too. So it kind of depends. I'll know more tonight. I like going to the SEC tournament.
I do, too. It's a ton of fun. It's a great time.
Yeah, I like going. So we'll see. Prior to lunchtime today, it was a definite no. Now it's a maybe.
Things are fluid.
And I still might. I think, like, you know, even if I don't go Saturday and Tennessee was playing for an SEC title, I would probably ride over Sunday morning. Because if I remember correctly, against Auburn, weren't tickets fairly cheap on that Sunday?
I just remember we were able to get them because we beat Kentucky.
Yeah. And when I say fairly cheap, I just mean like $100. I feel like there were a lot online for like $100. If I remember.
I can't remember.
I already had some, but I feel like they were pretty accessible.
I can't remember.
Now, if you're playing Kentucky on Sunday, obviously that changes the math.
Yeah.
And maybe even Alabama changes the math, so I don't know.
Yep.
Any other thoughts?
No, I'm excited. I'm ready. I'm ready to start the slot tonight, Arkansas versus Vanderbilt. And Missouri versus Georgia. Missouri did it. They pulled it off. They went 0-18.
Can they salvage it with a win tonight?
They're only 2.5-point dogs.
I know.
How?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't feel like they've really been that close. And Georgia, to me, has been better all year than they have. It seems dumb that they would be 2.5. The only thing that makes sense to me is motivation. And, like, usually Vegas doesn't take motivation into account when it comes to point spreads. But, like, Missouri playing for their lives and embarrassment versus Georgia probably ready to pack it up and go on spring break. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, neither team's going to win the SEC tournament, of course.
Yeah.
So, like, one team trying to get their only win of the season matters more.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that makes sense to me. I don't know.
And what is it like for Arkansas after, like, was it three straight Elite Eights or three straight Sweet 16s to be playing in Wednesday night?
I would say in the back of their mind, they think they're capable of going on a run, just to be honest.
Yeah.
They probably think they could go on a run and beat Vanderbilt and then start surprising teams. They played pretty good at Alabama for most of the game.
Yeah, should have won, I feel like.
Yeah, they should have. They blew it. They were up 7 with like a minute left. They blew it. So they probably feel like, hey, we're close. We can shock the world and actually go on a deep run here and give ourselves a chance. That's what I'm guessing. That's probably what I would talk myself into thinking if I had Musselman, who was good in the tournament. But like, maybe they're also like counting down the days for him to leave and take another job and just get the season from hell over with.
Yeah.
We'll find out pretty quickly because Vanderbilt, you know, beat Florida and is in Nashville. So I would imagine that Stackhouse kind of thinks the same thing about going on a little bit of a run. He usually coaches pretty good in the SEC tournament, I feel like.
Being able to win some games, yeah. Yeah.
Because it seems like he's keeping his job somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, good for Jerry. Good for the Vols. So yeah, I'm ready for the slot tonight.
Okay. I don't judge you. I'll be watching probably.
Just a little good background noise, if nothing else. Just a little good background noise. 0-18 Missouri going for the 0-19 conference record.
Do they get it done?
No, I'm going to go with Georgia.
Are you excited for the games tomorrow?
Yes. I am. I mean, Mississippi State and LSU is going to be brutal and ugly, but.
Yeah, I got to be honest. When I'm looking at the matchups, I'm not really excited for any of them.
It's going to be horrible.
Like maybe Arkansas, South Carolina.
Yeah. Ole Miss A&M will be gross. I saw Chris Beard sign an extension, which surprised me.
Is it a real extension or is it like, hey, we're just going to add a year back to your contract because you just did a year? Because that's kind of what Ole Miss does in football, right? They're only allowed to have 4-year contracts.
Yeah, I just saw the tweet.
Or did they fix that?
I don't know. I just saw the tweet.
I know that was a big thing about Kiffin, was bitching about only being able to sign 4-year contracts at a time.
So I don't know.
Either way, I would imagine it's a contract extension that probably doesn't do much for his buyout if he wants to leave.
Yeah, agree. Agree.
All right, let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch.
When it comes to insurance, you want someone you can trust. Look, you trust me with your time. You listen to me to laugh, to think, or so that I can make you mad with something I've said. Look, trust the person that I trust when it comes to insurance. John Runyon with Farm Bureau. John is a longtime friend of mine, since junior high actually, and has been my insurance agent the last 4 or 5 years. He will be honest, fair, and maybe most importantly, communicate with you in a timely manner. When I had a rock go through my windshield and needed to make a claim, the process was quick and easy. I had a check mailed to me almost instantly. To see what he can do for you when it comes to home, auto, or life insurance, contact him via phone at 865-982-2559, or you can shoot him an email to get the ball rolling at John, J-O-H-N, dot Runyon, R-U-N-Y-A-N, at F-B-I-T-N.com. That's 865-982-2559, or John.Runyon at F-B-I-T-N.com. John Runyon with Farm Bureau.
Patrons, I sent out a sign-up for the ESPN March Madness pool if you want in on that. Just $20. I'm adding some money to the pot for every new patron sign-up we get. The game threads going to be popping. It's tournament time. Come in and enjoy people living and dying with every basket and us going from the worst team ever to unbeatable in a span of 10 minutes. Shout-out to new $5 patron Jeremy Kitwell.
Shout-out to Brother Jeremy. We love you and appreciate you.
New $5 patron Chris Myers.
Shout out to Brother Chris. We love you and appreciate you.
And Derek Delaney upped his from $2 to $5.
Shout out to Brother Derek, a.k.a. Double D. We love you and appreciate you.
All right, let's hit some questions.
Brother Honey Jacks asks, for both, who has a more punchable face, Nate Oates or Shane Beamer?
Who do I want to punch more is the way I'm taking this question. I don't really know what a punchable face is, because a face alone has never really made me mad. It's the face with the antics. And I find Nados to be somebody I want to beat up more. I almost feel bad for Beamer in a way.
I mean, he has an unwinnable position. I mean, he has an unwinnable job. You can't win long-term at South Carolina football.
I find him to be annoying, like when he's doing his press conferences and he's doing that thing where he like kind of sits to the side and kind of shrugs his shoulders and sucks his bottom lip and acts like people are stupid. But I almost feel bad for him. As the son of a successful man, sometimes it's tough to live up to those expectations.
Nados just keeps running his mouth.
He does.
Which, what he said Saturday surprised me.
What did he say Saturday?
That, like, Latrell Wrightsell kept them from winning a league title.
Yeah.
And they'd like to get another shot at Tennessee.
I mean, that's nice. That's nice that he said that. Like, good for him for feeling that way. I don't know. It's not like we can dispute it.
Yeah.
He has that position, right? He has the argument high ground where he is the one that's put the hypothetical out there, and now it's on us to disprove it, and we can't. So good take. You know, no one can talk you out of it because we can't deal in hypotheticals. Now, you know, like I don't think that Wrightsell was the difference between them being an absolutely horrific defense and a good defense. Would he have made them a little bit better? Sure. He couldn't have made them any worse. But, like, that's convenient to use that as an excuse.
Yeah.
Now, is Wrightsell going to be back for the SEC tournament?
Yeah, he played against Arkansas.
Okay.
So, he's back. I don't know if Rylan Griffin is, but I know that Wrightsell played against
Arkansas. If I'm him, I worry about playing Florida.
Yeah.
Take care of Florida first, big boy, because they kicked your ass one game, and you barely beat them in overtime at home in another. So
yeah, you shouldn't have beat them either time.
Maybe don't worry about Tennessee until you have beaten Florida. And maybe don't worry about Tennessee until you get past Kentucky, because they ran you out of the gym whenever you played them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bitch.
Brother Nathan asks, which team would be the most enjoyable to beat in the tournament championship game?
Well, with that being said, is it Alabama or is it Kentucky?
It's Kentucky. For me, it's Kentucky. It's no question it's Kentucky. You've already swept Alabama.
What about like a red-hot Georgia team? One we don't really have to respect. One that we could just kind of have a celebration coronation.
That would be fun, too.
Kind of like the A&M game. Yeah, the A&M game was kind of just a party in Tampa.
Yeah, that would be fun, too.
Where you knew they didn't really have anything for you. You got to spend 40 minutes pretty much celebrating, or 2 hours, whatever you want to call it. 40 minutes of game time, 2 hours on the clock. Because you showed up to the stadium, the arena, knowing that you were going to win.
Yeah, that would be cool, too.
And it'd be pretty funny to watch them run through Alabama and Kentucky.
It would be. Kentucky would be very cathartic, but obviously during the game would be a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, is the risk worth it?
No, it's not. I mean, it's definitely not. It's 100% absolutely not worth the risk.
I feel the same way about Alabama, too. I don't want to lose to them either.
Yeah.
Now, with them, at least you beat them twice in the regular season. But then, you know, if they beat you with Wrightsell, it gives them credit. It gives them fuel for this take that they have.
Yeah, it gives Nato some credence. Yeah.
Correct.
Brother Marwan, a.k.a. Wheezy, asks, at the free throw line, down one with 5 seconds left in the Sweet 16, who do you want at the line?
Anybody but Jonas. Or Waka. I mean, is there anybody that stands out?
I would want Zakai up there at the end of the game.
Down one with 5 seconds left?
Yeah, I would like Zakai up there, of the starters.
I'm going with Dalton.
Okay. I think that's a perfectly defensible position to take.
He's not good at free throws. But only down one changes the answer. If it's down two, it's maybe a different story.
Yeah.
But my line of thinking there, Seth, is if he's down one and hits both, the legend just grows,
the
right?
The legend continues, yeah.
Right. He's going to hit at least one of them.
Yeah.
So if he hits two, it just further cements him as an all-time college basketball great season.
Yeah. I mean, he averaged over 25 points in conference play. That is so – he made it look so easy that that number just kind of gets to me. I feel like that number just gets kind of lost in the shuffle. That is so crazy to average over 25 points a game in conference play.
Well, to me, that's crazy when they're like, yeah, he had 5 35-point games.
Yeah. No big deal.
No big deal.
To average over 25 points a game in conference play is insane.
So I want the legend to grow. Because it's kind of like the Kentucky question I just asked. The risk is worth the reward there for me. The risk of him having to make both is worth the payoff of him just being able to be like, I'm that guy. Put me up there with Carmelo Anthony. Put me up there with Anthony Davis. Put me up there with whomever else was just kind of a one-year superstar. That's me too.
Brother Bob McRib, a.k.a. Russ McRib, asks, can we say something nice about the basketball team? This has been a Bad Vibes podcast.
Really? It's been a Bad Vibes podcast?
He also says, which I disagree with this. I disagree with this unreservedly. He says, I feel like John is about to put us on fraud watch.
No. Bob, you need to go in the bathroom right quick. And get you some Q-tips and clean out your ears. I'm not putting us on fraud watch. I'm saying that I'm now going into the SEC tournament wanting to win it, needing to win it. I have a pretty large wager on us to win it. I still believe in the boys. I got money on us to make the Final Four. I got money on us to win the national championship. No, I'm not putting us on fraud watch, and I'm not trying to lower the vibes. I was saying I didn't care any more to talk about the Kentucky loss because it's behind us. We still accomplished our goals. But I do think it's fair to say that I now want to win the SEC championship. Now, if we lose the SEC championship, if we lose in the our first game or second game and Auburn punks us out, maybe when we talk on Sunday or whatever, the vibes will be low. Maybe then. But I would still feel like we have a seat at the national championship table of like the crew, the 10 teams or whatever that could still win it. Even if we lost in the SEC tournament, I would still think that we could get hot and win the championship. The only thing that changes that is if, you know, you have Dalton Connect or a couple guys go down to injury. That's the only thing that can talk me off of us having a chance to win at all. So one nice thing about the basketball team, I've said many nice things, but the nicest thing I could say is that we have Dalton Connect and no one else does. We have the best perimeter scorer in basketball. We have the best pure scorer in basketball.
I think tax season is getting to Brother Bob.
He's mad too. He's mad at us because we're recording live on this new program versus the Discord and he had to log in. He's lashing out.
It's tax season.
And it's tax season. That doesn't help. He's probably tired too. He's been in the gym. He's been grinding. I thought those endorphins were supposed to make you happy, Bob. Choose joy. Choose joy. That's because right. We are.
Brother Jonathan Toy.
I'm sure I'm distracting you watching me on video. I cannot find my fucking water. I just had it. I'm so thirsty. Jesus Christ. Okay, I found it.
Brother Sorry. Jonathan Toy asks, what do you all think is going on with Kate Middleton?
It's weird, right?
It's getting real weird. It's got
just downright bizarre at this point, and we might be moving past bizarre and just into criminal.
Okay.
What do I think is going on? I don't really know. I know now people have come out and said they're worried she's dead. Surely she's not dead, right?
I don't think so.
But why has she not just checked in?
Yeah, I know. I know. Why don't they just release a statement, like a real statement?
No, not a statement. I need a video at this point.
A video, yeah.
I need a video. A statement could be written by anybody. They put out that fake-ass tweet of her saying that she got caught editing her photos. That was so bizarre, right?
That was insane that the Associated Press was like, we're not running this because it doesn't... They were just like, we're not running this.
Well, it just gives so much credibility to all the people that have been calling it fake. Like, the fact that they played into it by putting out something that was pretty obviously fake whenever you actually started looking at it.
Yeah.
The Photoshop jobs were so bad.
Yeah.
If this was a different type of celebrity, I would think they were doing it for attention.
Yeah. But that seems beneath the royal family.
Well, you would think the royal family doesn't want this type of attention.
Yeah.
They don't need the clicks. They're not trying to sell a reality TV show.
3 weeks or so ago, my mom told me she thought Kate had a hysterectomy and a tummy tuck.
I don't know the specifics, but I've seen people talk about surgeries.
If she had had a hysterectomy, I don't understand why they wouldn't just come out and say that. You know?
I don't even know if they had to go into like details of what it was. Just say she had a medical procedure. She had surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand the right to privacy, but also at the same time, whenever you're as famous as they are in that country, you kind of sacrifice some of that privacy.
Yeah, for sure. Brother Toys and all have to bring
I'm not saying you have to bring a camera into the hospital bed or anything like that, but just be like, hey, yeah, she had a surgery. She had a health scare. But instead, they put out this picture and get caught and then put out a weird tweet of her trying to laugh and say she's an amateur photographer. Like, that wasn't getting caught, like, curving the lines and making your ass look bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
And people looking and saying, hey, wait, the floor there curves. The wall's curving. That's fake. That's not what happened.
Yeah.
It was, like, basically changing everyone's outfits and, like, photoshopping a skirt onto her daughter.
Very odd behavior.
Which led some people to say that they think, you know, that photo was actually taken, like, in November. Mm-hmm. And, like, the internet detectives have tracked down, like, them wearing similar outfits on a photo shoot.
Yeah.
And then just, like, saying they just changed the color and added a skirt on that girl. Very, very weird. I don't know what's going on.
It was the whole thing. It's just, it's now devolved into something that is very, very weird. And it could have all been avoided.
Is it possible she tried to have like cosmetic surgery done to her face and they completely fucked it up?
I guess so.
And like now they're trying to let it heal and then redo it. Yeah, like literally save face. But like the irony there is that like if she comes out looking different, people are going to say it's a different person. They're going to say that they have cloned or brought in a replacement girl and it's not the real Kate Middleton if she comes out looking different.
Well, now you can't really stop the conspiracy theories.
No, and they didn't try to stop it. They poured gasoline all over it.
Yeah, now it's so far out of your control that it's just taken on a life of its own. It's bizarre, man.
The conspiracy theorists... they're usually on to something.
Sometimes they're right, yeah. They at least latch on to something that is truthful.
Well, like, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the phrase industry plant when they're talking about musicians.
Yeah.
And, you know, people throw that out to people and like, oh, he's an industry plant. Like, I was listening to a podcast that was talking about TRL. You remember Total Request Live?
Mm-hmm.
And it was about the first internet troll ever, the first successful internet troll. And... you know, back in 1999, some guy started like a chain letter on like Yahoo with a plan for like 3 months from now, we're going to vote for this 10-year-old New Kids on the Block song. Everyone needs to call in and go online and vote for this Hangin' Tough song by New Kids on the Block that's 10 years old. Do it on this day and we're gonna troll MTV and we're going to get it to number one on the charts. So they did it. MTV was aware of it. They spent the whole episode like teasing it, like, wow, we got a real big surprise at the top of the charts, blah, blah, blah. Guess the number two, it's New Kids on the Block. And then, like, someone noticed that the percentages that they were trying to represent on the show were not accurate and couldn't have been accurate. And like did some research and realized, like, hey, like the phone lines closed at this time. There's no way they got this many phone votes, blah, blah, blah. So which led to a journalist then talking to like a guy at MTV where they basically uncovered that MTV is like, look, we have to do this with this video just because it's so popular online right now. They were aware of like the memes basically.
Yeah.
So they're like, we have to put it at number two or else all these kids are going to think that their vote doesn't matter and the whole show collapses.
Yeah.
But the whole time, Seth, they did that just to cover up the fact that the whole show was rigged and none of the votes did get counted.
Yeah.
They had just been taking what the studio execs and like what the record labels wanted and kind of crafted their own top 10 every day and made it seem like we were voting on it. And it was just like just a whole bunch of industry plants and like, hey, we're going to make, you know, Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears and NSYNC, we're going to make them the biggest stars in pop culture just by putting them at the top of the charts every time. And that kind of blew my mind because like, yeah, that's obviously not exactly an industry plant, but it's one of those conspiracies that people had that ended up being, yeah, pretty true.
Yeah.
It blew my mind. Like, yeah, we're going to give into this troll and pretend like your vote matters so that you don't question whether or not your vote matters because ultimately your vote actually doesn't matter. I thought that was a wild podcast I listened to. I don't know if you care about anything I just said, but I found it to be fascinating.
I saw your tweet about it. I read earlier when you posted it.
Yeah.
Brother Parker asks, did Seth watch the Oscars and or does he have any opinion on this year's broadcast? I did not. Oppenheimer won Best Picture, right?
It did.
I thought it was tremendous.
I think it's a good look, too, for the most popular movie of the year to actually win the biggest award. Or at least one of the most popular movies.
I love Cillian Murphy. I think he's amazing. I think he's awesome. So, good for him finally getting a leading role in a Christopher Nolan film and getting to take home Best Picture. Did Barbie win anything?
I think it won some... I want to say it won something. But none of the big ones, like something with like the technical stuff or something, the set. I know it didn't win makeup. I know Poor Things won makeup and like costumes and stuff, which is kind of funny. But no, for the most part, Barbie got shut out. But like people actually watched a lot of those movies, or at least like Oppenheimer.
Yeah, agree. I know it does. It's better when people have seen, when a lot of people have seen what wins Best Picture.
That typically doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Brother Boomer brings up something that I have feel like I've been talking about for like a month now, and it blows my mind every time I watch a Tennessee game. Jonas Adu will not shoot with his dominant hand unless he's at the free throw line or it's a jump shot. Have we noticed this? He always goes left.
I haven't really noticed it.
It's insane to me. He always goes left when he's like on the block. But if it's a spot up shot, he shoots with his right hand, obviously, but He feels like, you know, people are now just guarding him to go left a lot, and they probably are, because he never goes to the right when he's on the block, even though that's his dominant hand. It's the craziest thing in the world to me. He never shoots with his right hand. Anyway, that's all I have to say about it. I feel like I've been, like, thinking about it for, like, a month now. Jimmy Dykes is always talking about him going up with his left paw.
I was watching some of the ACC tournament today, and I was so mad by Jay Billis. I hate that he's calling this tournament. I hate him now.
He sucks. There's nothing else to say.
I thought the Oscars were a big win for Emma Stone.
What happened with her?
She won Best Actress.
Oh, okay. Good for her.
One of 14 women, Seth, to win Best Actress multiple times.
Okay. What else did she win it for?
She's in rarefied air now, La La Land.
Okay.
The Meryl Streep of her generation. Whatever. You don't care. Anything else?
That's all I've got.
Okay. Do we win the SEC tournament?
Yes. Because we're the best team.
Do you like the way we match up with Auburn?
I mean, I think they bring you down in the mud. You got to be willing to get a little dirty. But probably not like we match up with Alabama, obviously. It's a tough game. But whatever. What do you think?
I like the way we match up with Auburn. They're probably the team I think we match up the worst with, though. But I think we match up with everybody good in the SEC.
Yeah.
I don't think they have anybody that can stop Dalton Connect.
Yeah. I don't think they have anybody that can stop Zakai.
Right. No one in the country has anybody that can stop Dalton Connect.
Agreed.
Except Purdue somehow.
Brother Bob, aka Russ McRibb, says he thinks Kate is pregnant with a baby she should not be pregnant with.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be something?
So with a non-royal baby?
Wouldn't that be something?
I feel like they would have forced an abortion on her, though, no?
I don't know.
I mean, they killed Princess Diana.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me they're not going to force Kate to get rid of a baby?
Yeah, they disappeared Prince Andrew, basically. They don't allow him out in public anymore just because he was in pictures with Epstein. They killed Princess Diana. Yeah.
I like the conspiracy, though. Something weird's going on. That's all we know. That's all we know. Something ain't adding up, Seth. Something's fishy.
It's very odd. It's very weird.
Maybe I'll see you in Nashville on Saturday. If not, I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. I love you. Bye-bye.
Love you. See you, bye. I just want to work this out and be good. Don't you want to work this out? We should. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I just want to work this out. Don't you want to work this out? Arguments got me messed up, 'cause I just learned about myself and I'm fed up, fed up, fed up, fed up. We need to learn how to fight, yeah, fight, yeah, before we burn out our light, yeah, fed up, fed up, fed up. Said gonna rehab, but yeah, cross the line too often. Yeah. You tell me that I got you fucked up and you start walking. You said ain't no more talking, that you need your space now. Feel your trust in me, and when I hurt you, it just breaks down. Yeah. I just wanna work this out and be good. Don't you wanna work this out? We should. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I just wanna work this out. Don't you wanna work this out? Whoa, maybe we can meet up later. Tell me if you freed up later. Let's get out of town. We've been going round and round. There's a hotel in the south of Virginia. Virginia. Make it a road trip. We'll listen to old shit. You tell me that it's hard to forgive you. Forgive you. Girl, I know, I know, I know. Girl, I know. And I won't, I won't, I won't. Girl, I won't. Act like a sea. I just wanna work this out and be good. Don't you wanna work this out? We should. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I just wanna work this out. Don't you wanna work this out? Whoa, maybe we can meet up later. Tell me if you freed up later.